Welcome. It's Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. Our scriptures this week are from Psalms 26, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and Luke 18, 9 through 14. I've titled my message this week, Thanks, or Thanks But No Thanks. Please open your Bibles and read with me Psalms 26. Vindicate me, O Lord. For I've led a blameless life. I've trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart, my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground in the great assembly. I will praise the Lord. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Imitating Christ's humility. Paul writes, If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, but humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And our gospel reading this morning is from Luke 18, 9 through 14. The parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. Starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. For two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I started to prepare the message for this week, I started by praying David's prayer in Psalms 19 and 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Then in my preparation lectionary, I looked at it suggested Psalms 26, which we read together today, and I struggled with this passage of David's because it almost sounded like he was praying like the self-righteous Pharisee in the parable Jesus told in Luke's Gospel. You know, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's prayer almost appeared to be like an old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip in which Calvin is talking to his stuffed tiger Hobbes, whom he imagines to be real and his best friend. He says, people are so self-centered. And then he adds philosophically, The world would be a better place if people would stop thinking about themselves and focus on others for a change. Well, Hobbsy sort of rolls his eyes and he thinks aloud, gee, I wonder who that might apply to. And Calvin answers, me, everyone should focus on me. Bill Watterson's cartoon character Calvin could have been the poster child for the Pharisee in today's Gospel from Luke. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we find Pharisees we love to despise. I bet he had an alarm clock and a phone that didn't ring. They applauded. He's the kind who had a mirror on the ceiling of his bathroom so you could see himself when he gargled. Well, this guy's greatest admirer was his wife's husband. Or he was so full of himself that when he showed you a personal photo, a group photo, you know, we'd be billionaires if we could buy the Pharisees for what we think of him and sell him for what he thought of himself. Well, this guy was interested in getting into heaven and was hoping that God would grade on a curve, so he was pointing out the lowest scores. But there's a danger here. We have to be very, very careful because, unfortunately, the reason we love to despise this guy is because he makes us feel better about ourselves and our feelings. We have to be careful because in despising this guy for his superior attitude, we are committing the very same sin of pride. Paul understood that this could be a stumbling block in our understanding of humility. He understood, as we should, that pride is the opposite of humility. And that's why he wrote to the Philippians their need to learn to be imitators of Christ's humility in Philippians 2. So if you're with us in our worship service on any given Sunday, you would find that it's our normal practice after reading our worship scriptures that you would hear the reader say, this is the word of God for the people of God. Well, then the response by most all in attendance would be, thanks be to God. But are we? Do you leave here today and adhere to God's word in thanks? Or do you leave and not give his word another thought, saying thanks, but no thanks? Well, let's look at this parable. Let's see how Jesus said thanks to the one who gave thanks, and thanks, but no thanks to the one who gave no thanks to anyone but himself. Let's look at the Pharisee first. Let me make one thing clear. The Pharisees were good guys. They weren't but the bad guys. A lot of confrontations happened between Jesus and some of the Pharisees, but we need to emphasize that it was only some of them. Some followed Jesus, notably Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. You see, the whole Pharisee movement was a holiness movement. They were trying to live a holy life pleasing to God in all ways. The Jewish law said every person who was to fast once a week as a sign of repentance for their sin. Well, the Pharisees, they didn't think that was enough. They fasted at least twice a week. Not only that, but the Pharisees were on the leading edge of social reform. They fought for the Jewish people in their opposition by the Romans. You see, they weren't the bad guys. They were the good guys. But a lot of them had forgotten their relationship with God and had assumed a higher position than they really had. This Pharisee, he reminded me of a couple who was moving from their neighborhood to another part of town. The snobbish woman who was moving explained the reason for their move at a farewell luncheon. She said, our business has been very successful. It's time for us to live among a higher class of people. Well, her neighbors answered her by saying that they were going to do the very same thing. Well, that took that snobbish woman by surprise, and she asked, oh, are you moving too? And her neighbors enthusiastically answered, no, we'll continue to live right here. What was troublesome to Jesus were those who, in their zeal to serve God, had forgotten to give thanks to God. Or as verse 9 describes them, those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. This Pharisee, he should have known better. But his self-righteous, self-congratulatory attitude got in the way. He didn't offer up any prayer of thanksgiving. Instead, he stood before God and listed all of his qualities and all that he had done. He moved himself into the judgment seat when he gave thanks that he wasn't like other people. And you know, when Jesus said, "Don't judge and you will not be judged," he wasn't just giving out some saying to be put on a bumper sticker or engraved on a plaque and hung on a wall to be forgotten. This was a command to be lived in our everyday lives. This was a command to live as a mark of faithfulness. God heard that self-congratulatory, thankless prayer and said, "Thanks, but no thanks." Well, then there's the tax collector. There was probably no one who was held in more contempt in Jewish society than the tax collector. Lepers got more respect. You see, a tax collector was a traitor. The Romans managed to keep their troops supplied while stationed in Israel through taxes. And they taxed the local citizens to pay for their own bondage. Well, they didn't send out tax forms. Instead, they sold franchises to the highest bidder. The one who promised to bring in the most money got the job of tax collector. He could collect as much as he wanted, as long as he brought the Roman officials the amount they had bargained for. Tax collectors were traitors and thieves. They worked for the enemy. They filled their pockets and their bank accounts with what they could skim off everyone else's taxes. And yet, once again, Jesus compares the faith of one of these traitors with one of the righteous Pharisees. And no wonder. This tax collector, he knew the old adage, "Don't brag, it's not the whistle that pulls the train." It's obvious that this tax collector didn't need anyone to remind him that he was despised or that he was a sinner. People reminded him of that every single day, every time he collected taxes. But his prayer was heartfelt, simple, and humble. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He didn't make a big, long list of his wrongs. He didn't try to justify himself by giving excuses. He didn't try to gloss over any with the, "Well, everyone else is doing it," excuse. He didn't try to bargain. He simply sought mercy and forgiveness. And God's response to his thanks was, "Thanks." He didn't try to exalt himself, yet he was exalted. And he went home justified rather than the Pharisees. For us, the message is simple. The attitude we're called to emulate is that of the tax collector. For he thanked God for the word of God in his actions. As Paul reminds us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So as Christians, we already know our relationship with God is through Christ. It's a relationship with God with an attitude that deals realistically with our relationship with God and our own sin. An attitude that doesn't sit in judgment of others or compare the so-called lesser sins of our lives with the horrendous sins of theirs. An attitude that realizes that God doesn't grade on a curve. An attitude that seeks his humble forgiveness and mercy. An attitude that is really a living thanks to God. So let me share with you one last thought. There was a young boy who wanted to measure himself, you know, to find out how tall he was. But he didn't have a ruler, so he made one. And then he measured himself. 9 feet, Mommy, he shouted. "I'm 9 feet tall." Oh, we laughed, but that's how it is when you measure yourself by your own ruler. That's the mistake the Pharisee in this parable made. And that's the mistake some of the Pharisees who Jesus confronted were making. They were good guys, but they were blinded by their own self-righteousness. They couldn't take their eyes off themselves long enough to see God's grace working in other people's lives. All they could do was look down their noses. You see, God is the only true yardstick we have and the only true yardstick we need. You can't look in the mirror and see our reflection, for we have to stand before God and see our true reflection, reflected as it is, It's reflected in the light of Christ's eyes. That's the reflection God looks for. Not the one we hold up, but the one for which Christ willingly let himself be held up on the cross for. The one that shines in the darkness of the empty tomb. It's in, though, that reflection that God sees and we see who we really are. For it is in that reflection that God sees our living and heartfelt thanks. So two men went up to the temple to pray, and one gave thanks. And one gave thanks that was really no thanks at all. And as a consequence, God said, thanks, but no thanks. Be like the tax collector. In his service, this has been Pastor Joe.